Thanks to Shudder for supporting FilmSack this week. Shudder is a premium streaming service from AMC Networks featuring a great collection of thrillers, horror, and suspense. Try Shudder free for 30 days by visiting shudder.com/podcast and using FilmSack as the code. That's shudder.com/podcast and the code FilmSack. And by Away. Away makes first-class luggage at coach prices that allow you to charge your phone on the go. For $20 off a suitcase, go to awaytravel.com/filmsack and use the promo code FilmSack. That's awaytravel.com/filmsack and the promo code FilmSack.
You know the problem with Hollywood is? They make shit. Unbelievable, unremarkable shit. Now, I'm not some grungy wannabe filmmaker that's searching for existentialism through a haze of bong smoke or something. No, it's easy to pick apart bad acting, short-sighted directing, and the purely moronic stringing together of words that many of the studios term as prose. No, I'm talking about the lack of realism. Realism. Not a pervasive element in today's modern American cinematic vision.
Mathematics. This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, that didn't work. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to FilmSack. This is FilmSack, episode 387, and my name is Scott Johnson. We're mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. Episode 387, I already said that. Hey, look who's joining me today. Brian, he likes to golf in his towel Dunaway.
Yeah, I do. I like to drop my balls on the tee and shoot them off. Hey, oh, hi. On this week's FilmSack. Hold on a second. Wait. My screen just locked and it wants a password.
Oh. Is it big red letters? Okay. Man. Yeah.
Right. I don't remember setting a password though, so let me try my bank password, because that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
All right, so it's all lowercase. I am so broke, and then the number 69.
Okay.
Followed by the dollar sign.
Okay.
Nope. Yeah. All right, no, that's not it. Oh man. This is a lot of pressure with you guys watching everything. I don't like typing my passwords when people are watching.
Mm-hmm.
Especially don't like people touch me. Oh, okay. Wait. Oh, Ibit, thank you. Yeah, a back rub does help. Oh, yeah. Now it's coming back, my password. I think I may have used my Facebook password, which is Zuckerberg69. And enter. No. Whoa, Randy. Where are you going, dude? Get out from there, man. Oh, you were just helping me tie my shoe.
Yeah.
Man, you guys are super helpful. All right. Oh, I got it. I probably used my Twitter password. The bird is the word 69. Bingo, that's it. Show open. Show notes are ready. Yeah. Scott, stop measuring my inseam. That's too helpful.
Yeah.
Right.
I didn't
passwords,
like,
right?
I didn't like that scene at all. I hated
you
it.
I hated that scene, but let's talk about that later.
Yeah, we'll talk about it later. Also with us, Randy, you don't find him, he finds you, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian.
Hi.
I know what you're thinking. How can we, the best podcasters in the world, do this impossible thing? I'll tell you how. We're going to use a digital crossover to analyze the 16-channel amplification. We're going to attach this future tech condenser mic to pop filtered, water cooling, double redundancy 32 channel, ultra high frequency MME WASPI DTMF tones. And we're going to add Nyquist prompt noise reduction with pulse stretch compression, echo equalization, and a notch filter high pass on all 64 channels. Then we're going to run a macro of repairs to the tempo phaser leveler with a small delay, bringing all 128 channels to our listeners' ears in glorious pitch-adjusted tremolo.
Wow. That's fantastic. Look, that's a lot of technical mumbo-jumbo right there. I like it.
That's right.
Yeah.
And can I point out the irony of the Randy talking about all these high-tech microphone and sound tools?
So he knows about the technology, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
He's aware of it.
Yeah, he's aware of what's going on. Also with us, and finally, Brian, we should all jump down this dirt hill together, Ibbit.
We totally should. All right. Hey, Brian. Hey, Randy. Scott.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming to this meeting. I've been told that the best film sackers in the world can come up with a funny film sack opening in 60 minutes, but I'm going to need you to come up with one in 60 seconds. By the way, do you like tequila, Scott?
Yes. I'm gonna I'm just slurp it down.
No,
I don't. No, I don't like it. I don't like it.
It only works if you say no. I have a Monster Energy drink. Helga, go get him a Monster Energy drink. All right, here's my laptop. I need a computer pun in 60 seconds. Go.
Okay. A computer pun?
Come on, Scott.
It's ram this down your throat.
Okay, very good. Now make a joke about my facial hair.
You got 30 seconds. This is a shitty little thing you got there on your face.
Okay, I'll take it. All right, 22 seconds. Now make an uncomfortable joke about Holly Berry's nudity. Come on, Scott.
I didn't order pepperoni.
Yeah, that was actually good.
All right, very good, very good. All right, where's Helga with that Monster Energy drink?
I didn't order pepperoni.
He was just messing with you the whole time, Scott.
I know.
You were going to actually have to drink the tequila.
No.
Helga can't do a button fly.
No. Oh my gosh, dude. No. Freaking that whole scene.
On your Bugle Boy jeans, you couldn't do the button fly, huh?
Mm-hmm. Nice earring, by
all
the way.
All those Bugle Boy jeans you wearing.
This would have been, by the way, the same year as X-Men. So this was Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, it was. Right. It was odd seeing Wolverine and Storm in a film that was. I thought they had less sexual chemistry in this than they had in the X-Men.
You had lot of
not
comic
just
book
Wolverine
crossovers.
And Storm. Yeah. Yeah, you got War Machine. You got Juggernaut. Beach.
But they weren't part of the sexual thing. Mm-hmm. They weren't maybe.
I thought there was some tension between Juggernaut and Storm.
Yeah.
I think it's time that we agree that huge Yak Man.
Yeah.
He doesn't have sexual chemistry with anybody ever. That's not his thing.
No.
He is a different kind of thing. That's why he's perfect for Wolverine.
Mm, what about that movie where he comes forward in time? No, somebody goes back in time and brings him forward, and he's like a Renaissance era dude.
Hot Tub Time Machine? What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about right now.
I know what you mean.
This exists, right? Yes. I mean, I'm not imagining it, right?
Yes, no, there's
a
thing.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Oh.
I forgot the name, but you're totally right. This exists.
Pulls him forward from some romance novel thing.
But I thought he was smoldering and had great sexual chemistry in The Greatest Showman. Smoldering and great sexual chemistry in the...
Kate and Leopold is the one I was thinking of.
Kate and Leopold.
I never saw that.
Same year as this.
Yeah. I never saw this Great Showman deal from last year.
Oh, yeah.
The Greatest
Showman is so good. It is so good. You really need to see it. His chemistry was very good.
All right. Well, he's also pretty,
his sexual chemistry between him and Zac Efron was amazing.
Yeah, I'll bet it was really amazing. Off the charts. But no, he was
cut the tension with him and Christian Bale Prestige. Knife.
Sure. Yeah, but that's a good example. That and Logan are the examples I'm talking about where it's like, you know what? I don't really need him to have like a love interest. You know, he can just play that role that we've got him in.
I think the entire heterosexual female world has a love interest with Hugh Jackman. So
they definitely do. Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Good.
So if Randy had his way, he would just remain less miserable.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's not attractive. I'm saying he never develops chemistry on screen.
Sure.
With the leading woman. It just doesn't happen.
Unless he's healing himself. Heal thyself, Wolverine. Heal thyself.
That's right.
Anyway, this is right before he's about to hit things big and, you know, whatever. I thought I'd seen Swordfish. I have not seen Swordfish.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. I was sure I'd seen it.
You
and I don't
lucky
know,
dog.
I don't know why I thought I'd seen
I've probably seen this film like 5 or 6 times. I own the Blu-ray.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is my first. I know it's usually Dunaway's line.
Yeah. Right.
This is the first time I've actually watched all the bonus stuff on there. So there are 3 alternate endings, really 2 alternate endings.
Did you watch the alternate endings? Did you watch all of them?
Oh, yeah. Good. Good. Good.
So there's alternate endings?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So like the thing about this is like maybe the second time I've seen the film. I definitely had seen it like when it was in theaters or such. Like, that was a time when movies like this were so good. I don't know if I still feel that way entirely, but like there was a time frame when, like, you could make a movie. Dominic Senna could make a movie like Gone in 60 Seconds, and I was there for days.
Oh, yeah.
This game, and, or this game, this game, I call it a game. This movie starts really strong, but I don't think it holds up, dude. I think that's perfect.
Really,
yeah.
What really stuck out to me was the self-referential thing that the main character's doing about he's like almost knows he's in a movie, and he's talking about movies, and they bookend with later, like the very end thing. Mm-hmm. And so that makes me wonder, wait a minute, what would you have in the alternate endings then?
Oh, so many different things, because there's already like six endings in the actual movie. So you just kind of shell those around.
So I guess this is, you know, I don't think we need to issue a spoiler alert for people, but if you haven't seen the movie, we're about to tell you exactly how it ends.
Yeah.
Obviously this one ends with Gabriel and Halle Berry working together. She's alive. She's not a DE agent. And
it's all a ruse.
And she ends up looking a lot better than he does with his weird, closely cropped blondish gray hair. But at least he got rid of that stupid soul patch trickle.
Yeah.
And they get money. And he's still a patriot. And he still, you know, bombs a yacht of some terrorist in the middle of
which made absolutely no sense. Why are they going towards the yacht if they're bombing it? I was like, wait, why did that yacht just blow up?
I don't know.
She got on that boat wearing the wig and he was there and he turned around, did anybody else have a flashback to Val Kilmer in Heat when he's on the street?
He went, funny you should say that, because according to the trivia, it was Val Kilmer was supposed to get this role and turned it down.
Okay.
So there's one of those deals.
That would have been good.
Anyway, so what were the alternates?
Number one,
yes,
is that Halle Berry shows up to the bank in Nice. They say, "Oh no, sorry, there's no money in this account." And she goes, "What?" And then she has to go back to John Travolta and say, "There's no money in this account." And John Travolta goes, "What?" And then they cut to Hugh Jackman and his daughter sitting in that very same diner. Which I guess they bought a time machine and traveled to the 50s, because not only was the diner the 50s, but all the cars driving around it were the 50s. I guess you could only...
Everything's better at the end.
That's right.
He's got a laptop, and you see him with all the money, and he's transferred $10 million out to various charities, and all he has left is $500 for the two of them.
Dang it, Stanley!
Yeah,
exactly.
Stanley once again screwing it up.
And they didn't like that ending, because it's like, all right, so Gabriel is this mastermind who's you know, thought about everything. He's even thought to like put a rocket launcher within arm's reach of Stanley to make sure that he shoots the helicopter down, because it's all part of the same plan. And then to have him like get foiled by a dude with a laptop in a diner seems kind of
right. You know, and it actually ends just like Travolta, you know, projects that it will, if you follow along with that storyline, because he says at the beginning, what if, you know, in Dog Day Afternoon, this happened, and it's like, no, because Stanley's like, no, because that would be bad, because he deserves this. But so it ends like he starts it. So I think that like makes more logical.
I do like that too.
So what's the So what's the third ending? There was the third ending
is
credits.
No, Halle Berry shows up at the bank. The money's there. She withdraws it. And then it's just the two of them, Halle Berry and John Travolta, sailing off into the sunset.
I thought it would be Stanley and her. That would have been fun.
No, he doesn't. Stanley doesn't end up with the woman. I was gonna say doesn't get the girl, but he gets a girl. He just didn't get the woman.
He doesn't end up back with Soprano's wife. That's not what happens.
To Mateo.
No, I think it'd be better if him and Don Cheadle went off laughing with the money. That'd be
I agree. Just because it would be something you wouldn't expect. I feel like that whole ending interaction between him and Don Cheadle is like, well, I guess he's dead. Yep. Okay, bye. Thanks. I don't need you for any other information. And you're ready to go.
Yeah.
Cheadle literally says, "I'll give you a call."
Yeah.
Like, whoa, are you asking him out now? Like, you were.
Well, they have a long-term relationship, because Cheadle was who bust him the first time, right? And so I would prefer to have seen their relationship.
Well, he said at the end, he says, not only that, he says, no one's going to lose any sleep over him being dead or something. The way that they end that is so not the way you would investigate any crimes. Like, it's just the way that Stanley was involved was kind of hardcore and in breach of his parole agreement. If he touched a computer, I don't care what happens. The rule of law says you're back in jail for that, no matter what happens.
TV and movies are so much fun with the way they go. Ah, yeah, you remember that? You remember, you know, the law? No, we're just going to waive it for you because you helped us out here.
You helped us out, exactly.
That's it. No,
we're square now. Go, but don't let me see you back here again.
Usually those are plea agreements in court, and this is like some weird handshake deal behind the scenes with Wolverine and War Machine.
How that works.
Yeah.
The movie plays fast and loose with all kinds of things. Did anybody else early on when you first go to LAX, you get back 4 days ago, we're at LAX, and here's a hacker who's trying to come into the country. Did anybody else went on first blush on seeing Rudolph Martin think it was Billy Bob Thornton?
No.
No, I didn't. I thought it was
the guy from Stargate SG-1.
I thought it was the guy from Will and Grace.
I thought it was the king from the Tudors.
There's like a look. Everybody has somebody, right?
I'm telling you, when go back and look for Billy Bob Thornton, when you first glance at Rudolph Martin, it's shocking how much he looks like Billy Bob Thornton.
Oh, but weird. Then
he immediately walks into the, you know, the federal government being wildly incompetent. Like,
hey man,
we're going to put you in this room over here that you can just basically walk out of and get on an elevator.
Yeah.
I'll pitch your Billy Bob Thornton against Michael Shanks lookalike any day. I think he looks way more like Michael Shanks.
I don't even know who Michael Shanks is.
From SG-1. Daniel Jackson.
Daniel Jackson, yeah. I never remember that guy's actor name, or his real name. I remember his character name.
I didn't either. I had to look it up. I just remember Daniel Jackson. Yeah. I Googled.
No, he's
that guy.
Yeah. He's more hack than hacker, this guy. He sucked. He came in,
he got busted immediately. He wrote the Linux kernel.
The what? The ladies kernel?
No, the Linux kernel.
Oh, Linux.
Yeah, it's
Linux kernel.
Linus Torvald. I mean, sorry, not Linus, but Axel Torvald.
Oh, I see.
Also a Finnish guy. Oh, come on.
At least in those early scenes, things were they hadn't decided how fake or lame they were going to be with her tech yet. They were trying to still sort of decide early in the movie. It's like, are we going to go full techno babble that's accurate, or are we going to go off the rails a little bit with that? And then when we get to actual screens, is any of this going to be realistic? Are we going to go sneakers, or are we going to go every other movie? Or are we going to go zoom and enhance? And they went so far into the zoom and enhance direction that it ruined the movie for me. Completely ruined it for me.
256-bit encryption, Scott.
Whoa, holy shit.
It keeps getting bigger. Every time encryption is mentioned.
Yeah.
But by the way, here's another little weird thing, and I wonder if it's intentional. Did anybody notice that the women's names were Ginger? That's a plant. Holly was the little girl. That's a plant. The wife was Melissa. That means honey. That comes from flowers. Is it just me?
Well, the honey.
I'm stuck on Melissa means honey.
Yeah, the honey. The honey one's a stretch, but I give you that. Yes, it's the director's into plants, man. He's like, oh yeah, plants.
He's a plant man.
The writer, right? Like he can only have women have these first names.
But this is such gender. Like an example of like this was produced and made and then released right before 9/11. It was actually pulled from some theaters in the aftermath of 9/11 because of that part of the shot where the helicopter slams into the side of the building, or not the helicopter, the lady that fell out of the bus who was strapped with all the stuff and the guy was with her and then blew up next to the building. Anyway,
we were not interested in any violence at that point.
No, especially like building stuff like that was bad. So, but it reminds me of all these movies that came right up until that point and how much they changed since then, because this is the dumbest villain character of all time. It makes no sense to me that he's Mr. Bank Robber Terrorist Villain himself, who is all under the guise that he's going to somehow independently stop international terrorism and claim that he's a patriot. Like, it's just over the top cartoon character ridiculous. It's stupid.
I actually like that. I like the written word of his character. I did not like how it was visually displayed. I didn't care for that part of it. I like the character itself, though. I think the character itself is a good, interesting character.
Mm.
Good character writing. But
see, I find him very unrealistic.
You got to take away a bunch of things for me to get there. Like, take away the whole first bit. That first bit ruins this character for me. He's I'm sorry, Travolta is not meant to deliver those lines. He's just not.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, then the whole thing of where he's a mystery, like, you don't find him, he finds you kind of thing, I dig that. But then from the moment that is said, for the rest of the film, everybody in the world is seeing him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, that's not working in his favor for me as a villain.
Yeah.
Right. I did like the idea that I was hoping at the end, when he was on the boat, I was really hoping that Nicolas Cage would turn around and be on the boat, because I was really hoping that his look was a total fabrication, because the individual that his character took over from, he looks a lot like, right? The dead guy in the wine cellar looks a lot like Travolta. And I was hoping that it wasn't going to be just the little mustache and just the haircut. Yeah. That was just ridiculous.
I was hoping if it's going to end on a boat like that and they got away with it, I was hoping that Kevin Bacon was going to be there with full frontal nudity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, just a towel. How about just a towel?
Just a towel.
He can be,
Yeah. It was a little nub showing through. You know what? All these names you guys keep naming, it just occurred to me how pervasive Marvel culture now is in Hollywood. You've John Travolta, a villain in the Punisher in 2004.
I forgot about that. Okay.
You got, like we mentioned before, War Machine and Wolverine are obvious. You got Halle Berry and Storm. You just mentioned Nicolas Cage, who's not even in this, and that guy is played Ghost Rider. Like, everybody's been in a Marvel movie at this point. Like, everybody, it feels like.
Not all MCU movies, but a lot of Marvel. They've portrayed characters in Marvel.
Yeah.
Right, right.
It's nuts Marvel to me that's that pervasive. I mean, I don't know why.
I'm trying really, really hard to put Sam Shepard in a Marvel movie in my mind.
Yeah, like he may not be.
He plays Senator in this movie.
Yeah. What a throwaway plot point.
I know.
It really was. Really it didn't dumb. Help the movie at all.
No. Right. I mean, no. it gave it some credence to say, ooh, look, it's that actor. He's awesome. And he's working with Tate Donovan, who's also a good actor. And they're interesting. They lend credibility to this movie. But their actual usage and plot point in the film is a complete waste.
The plot point was thin. It was to show that it was more of the, hey, look, where does John Travolta land on the power scale? Is he below a senator? Is the government in control, or is he in control? Right. And he's in control. I don't think we needed all the scenes that we showed. A lot of those scenes were pointless. I agree. I think a lot of the scenes were too gratuitous. I enjoyed the first two scenes, I enjoyed the coffee shop scene. I was fine with that. It's okay to amp that up and make it really, you know, high energy amped up.
Haven't seen the movie before, or if you haven't seen it in a long time, you forget that, you know, he's telling the story while he's basically at gunpoint during a heist. So
that's how I knew I'd never seen it.
It was good. And I thought it was all right. And it fit. And then the second scene, you know, it was kind of high. It was kind of high intensity too, because we had somebody trying to sneak into the country. But then they kept the high energy ratchet down when they showed Halle Berry coming to visit the Stanley character, and I'm like, why? This is the time you should put the brakes on a little bit and let us get to know the characters, not this crazy, you know, 5 o'clock in the afternoon magic hour film of all that crap. I'm like, hey, we don't need all that.
Yeah.
But Dominic
Jackman in a towel.
Dominic Senna is really good at a not really good thing, which is he's really, really good at dressing up a scene and giving you cinematography that makes you go, whoa.
It was awesome.
You see that trailer park in allegedly Midland, Texas, which looks nothing like that. And it's just incredible. Like they obviously filmed it in Southern California. It's super high filtered.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like you get cut really fast stuff like Michael Bay.
That's the problem.
He gets on the phone with his ex-wife and, like, you get a shot of her flat and it's, like, covered in porn movies. And you're supposed to be, like, shocked, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
But, like, how many times can you show me, like, these rich, colorful scenes and shock me, right? I get used to it.
Yeah, and it ruins the big points. Like, that's what I hated about the Transformer movies is it's like, okay, I want to be, when the Transformers come on scene, I want to know that I'm no longer in just regular reality. I'm being blown away. But if you're like blowing me away every scene, you're like, oh, his car broke down, but let's show Megan Fox all hot and let's shoot it from this angle and make it all super saturated and sexualized. I'm like, well, how am I supposed to get excited about Transformers when I'm leaving this scene?
Well, I don't, yeah, and keep in mind, this guy from his history, he from 1985, his first directorial work all the way up through 1993, and even some beyond them, but then the movie started, but till 93 it was all music videos all the time. That was it.
Yeah
James Collins, Dan Reed, Richard Marx, yeah. Janet Jackson, Tina Turner, yeah.
A lot of them get their start that, I mean, you know, it's no surprise a lot of them get their start that way, but
my point is, like, that's the style here is very much on display.
It feels like a music video. Yeah.
And that orange filter,
as a watcher, give me a break. I need a break between my big, you know, spicy meals, you know. Mm-hmm. I need some mashed potatoes in between there.
Having said all this, we all enjoyed the movie, right?
Oh, no, no,
it was entertaining.
No,
it is a leave your brain at the door, and you know, the whole scene with the with him and those that supercomputer with 12 inch monitors, 11 inch monitors, all staggered at different heights. Yeah. I kind of would like, first thing I would do when I sat down at that desk is like arrange all the monitor arms so that they're all like in vertical front.
Right.
Get rid of a lot of these little swing arm lamps that are causing glare on those screens.
Yeah.
We were told there were 7 computers there on 7 different networks, Brian. And my very first thought was, where's the peripheral switch?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where's any, only one KVM. Set of peripherals?
Where's anything?
Right. KVM.
Yeah. Where's anything? And
this is a complaint you'll hear from people who are trying to make movies about hackers. They will often go, well, I don't know how to shoot this scene because it's boring to watch somebody sit at a keyboard.
Yes,
right. And there are ways to film it, and there have been ways successfully, but this is not the way to do it.
No,
not to bring
go
it
watch
up
Sneakers.
To
go watch Sneakers. Learn how to do it. Sneakers will tell you all you need to know. It's a master class on how to make a hacker movie and not be stupid and over the top. It's great, and there's ways to do it. This is terrible. Everything about this is the thing about this movie. The first bit, great. That bullet thing's cool. All the little steel balls, all that stuff's great.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then they're like, 5 days earlier or whatever, and they do one of those things, and you got Tom Cruise's ugly cousin from Lost doing his thing. And, you know, they start to tell the story, and then it just starts to get super, super dumb, like over-the-top dumb, and it's mostly due to this, the way that they decided to portray what the hacker business is like, and it's just it just took me out, man. I could not enjoy the rest of the movie. It was really hard.
I would have been okay if he would occasionally got, you know, if we had like a baseline where we're kind of like cruising along, he's normal, and then, you know, maybe he goes into hacker mode, and then he gets the energy drink, and then things like amp up a little bit. But oh my God, it was just like, it was like an 11 the whole movie. It's like,
Yeah, plus just like the idea that everything's got a nice graphical interface, even for when your password's denied, is just ridiculous. Nobody writes that. Well, that doesn't exist.
You can be just tippy-tippy-teppy typing on a keyboard, and what you're seeing is little arrows moving all to Monte Carlo from all these different...
Right, and then worse off, when he's in that room and he's singing and kind of swirling on his chair and just do it was like a, who's the singer that dated and married his cousin who's 13 or something? What's his name?
All of
Jerry
them.
Lee Lewis.
Jerry Lee Lewis. He's like Jerry Lee Lewis in there.
Right,
like,
right. Doing the standing at the piano kind of situation.
Yeah, then, it sucked. Yeah. That
pointing
sucked.
At that one, and then pointing at this one, and then turning around and counting to 3, and oh, now it's that. And is it compiled yet? Great. Now I need to modify my code. What?
Yeah, I'm sorry. It just doesn't. It just, none of that landed on me as anything but ridiculous. I just hated it.
I love the idea that you're testing your code in real time and getting real time results that back you up. Mm-hmm. And so you keep coding and you get a little bit further forward, then the results back you up.
Yeah.
I that just made me laugh. I'm sorry. I enjoyed the scene. He's got headphones on. He's smoking a cigarette for no reason that makes any sense. He's spinning around, dancing. I enjoyed it.
How
I
could you
really
enjoy
awesome.
That? Oh my gosh. I just,
it was
just
Kevin Bacon running around the abandoned sawmill dancing to I'm Free, basically, moment.
Yeah. But at least in that case, that movie's about dancing, and dancing, and I didn't have to look at that and go, that's not how you dance. No, it is how you dance.
You know, the hacker scenes, they annoyed me less than that whole opening trailer park scene where he's standing outside on top of the trailer. knocking golf balls. I'm like, are you trying to say this guy is interesting or something? Because he's not interesting. There's nothing interesting about a dude on top of his trailer knocking golf balls.
Well, he's
bring it down a notch.
He's Hugh Jackman in a towel, and he's buff, and not nearly as buff as he would become in later years.
Halle Berry comes up and says something like, I know who you are and everything, but you're not as impressive as described as expected. Yeah. I'm like, what'd you expect from no one's ever said, oh, I can't wait to see this hacker. I bet he's right. I bet he's a physical specimen.
He's a specimen, yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Get out of here.
I know. All that stuff I understand the style over substance, and I understand that can be fun. Like, I think Heat has a lot of that, and I love Heat. Mm-hmm. So I think it can be done right.
But everything in Heat moves to a central purpose. And I think as much as I do enjoy the film, it just feels like so much stuff is just shoehorned in there. Like, okay, now the bus will be in the air. What do you think of that? Oh, okay.
Oh, my gosh. Don't get me started.
Does it need to be? And does it?
The freaking bus, dude. You know what? That whole plan or the whole thing started to go sideways and completely pivoted on how bad a pilot they had for the helicopter pilot.
Yeah.
Did you maybe go over the buildings? I don't know.
He picks up a bus and then flies straight toward downtown. Why are you going straight to downtown?
Yeah.
I always kind of enjoy when they airlift either a carrier or something like that, or a bus or a truck. That always makes me smile. I don't know why.
Yeah.
All right, maybe you'll be able to go as the crow flies, and all the people chasing you will have to zigzag and stuff to keep up with you. But at some point you do have to land, and it's pretty easy for them to see where you are by standing on the ground and looking up. Like, okay, well, he's going west. Have some people waiting west.
It also 2001. I mean, you can't be a bank robber in 2001, ask for a bus and a plane, because the plane's not going to get you anywhere because the military will track you. You're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
I want a plane on the runway. And 10 minutes thing that doesn't
Where
work at all anymore. It hasn't worked since the 70s. You can't do it. Like, you're just gonna get followed, shot down, otherwise sequestered or stopped at the next place you have to land because you got to get fuel. Like, there's no losing ever, you
advantage.
Know, disappearing. Yeah. You don't just vanish. Yeah. That kind of stuff drives me crazy.
You got a doppelganger corpse in the basement.
Yeah, I guess so.
Or if your path is going to lead you through a tunnel somewhere, now you can usually escape there because the police are stupid. It's like, I went in, but they didn't come out.
So
where'd they go?
The police are dumb.
So maybe we can give Gabriel a little bit of credit. The stupid soul patch trickle thing that he had going on.
That wasn't his idea.
It wasn't his idea. It was the fact that he killed somebody who kind of looked like him that had that. And he's like, it'd be a lot easier for me just to grow my own than to shave it off. So shave it off the dead guy. So we'll just leave it.
Did they explain how they made the teeth match up? Because the coroner was like, yeah, their dental records are the same. How'd they do that?
I don't remember. He probably hacked into the
system. If that's your biggest problem.
Yeah. Well, it's not. It's just like these huge disconnects.
He can probably have the dental records of the dead guy loaded into any system
guy,
he wants.
Right, right. But the dead guy was a real guy. That was the thing. Like, the dead guy is the thread through all of this. Before the movie even starts, he killed a guy who was former Mossad, made himself look like him, and took on his name. When they found the corpse, they would match the teeth of the guy with himself.
So maybe John Travolta's character, Gabriel, doesn't actually have teeth, and he made dead man dentures.
Yeah,
that would explain why he talks the way he does.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You know, you talk about Hugh Jackman doesn't look like a hack or doesn't look that good. Like, I was shocked at how skinny he was.
Yeah,
right?
Very thin.
I thought he looked great.
Well, compared to what he would become.
The absolute unit in this film is Vinnie Jones, and they just can't figure out what to do with Vinnie Jones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. This is
all
true.
He's there to intimidate.
There is.
He is, but it's like, why do we have this guy? Oh, well, let's give him some dialogue, and he actually delivers some dialogue later in the film, and you're like, oh, no, shut him up.
Yeah, tell him to be quiet. That didn't work. We don't need Vinnie Jones saying words. He can just look menacing.
Right.
Menacing is your job. Do that job. But there is a definite tonal shift in the movie at some point. One of the big tonal shifts was, hey, Halle Berry, know her? She's in lots of movies and stuff. She's never been topless before, but guess what? In this weird one-off action thriller movie, she's going to go ahead and do that. And I did some digging, and according to everything I can find, it was for an extra fee of 500 grand, and it made me wonder... If somebody's going to say, all right, if you'll do the scene topless, we'll pay you an extra $500,000 on top of your already $2 million fee, none of us are women, as far as I know.
Okay. Right.
Would any of us, let's put it this way. Okay, we're in a movie and someone says, hey, Dunaway.
I know where you're going with this, and yes.
Dunaway, if you show your dong, we'll pay you an extra 500 grand. Will you do it?
Okay, sure, because you know why? Because my job doesn't depend on, you know, keeping that stuff under wraps. $500,000, I could quit working for years.
Am I also, right now, am I also in talks to make Monsters Ball as my very next film? Because I think she kind of fooled him. She pulled a fast one there.
She did. She says, I'm going to do all this nudity for Monsters Ball. But, oh, gosh, I guess I could maybe make my first nude film, Swordfish. I don't know. I've never even thought about doing nudity before.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, give me the extra 500 grand. The next movie is like a low budget, not even going to make $500,000 total, and she'll be naked a lot. So
in that video with the if I could use your phone video, I offered to pull my pants down for $100. So,
oh right,
yeah. I can beat that. I can go under that.
You can't. Oh, wow. This is a bidding war. I didn't expect.
I just need money. I'm sorry.
Money? Why? I'll do it for free. Yeah, it's a lot different. It's the value of something people want to see, Halle Berry's boobs, versus the value of what people don't want to see, my junk.
You're
right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I mean, yeah, but $500,000 seems kind of cheap to me. I wonder how much Hugh Jackman. Got paid for his topless scene.
He gets paid. Look, they don't worry about that stuff at all. But let's say that your wiener was an equal demand as her toplessness.
That's different.
Yeah.
Well, $1 million to show my in-demand weenie.
All right.
and I might be wrong, and certainly, you know, emails might prove me wrong, but I don't think women care about seeing wieners as much as men care about seeing boobs.
I agree with you.
For sure.
I agree.
But the thing to remember is, at the time,
wieners are
I knew so many people going to see this film because they heard they were going to get to see Halle Berry topless.
Oh, like, see, I don't remember any of that. I don't remember any of that stuff around the time anyway. I mean, I've known since then, and I've seen GIFs, and I've gone, oh, yeah, well, there's a funny GIF with SpongeBob suddenly over each boob.
You know, yes.
And so in my head I thought, well, I've seen this movie. Why didn't I think it was that big a deal? I had totally not seen it. So that scene was like new to me.
We missed a week after watching we watched this and then we skipped a week. And I'll be honest with you, I don't remember the topless scene. I don't remember anything about the topless scene at this point.
It's pretty unremarkable.
I think I remember some backside side boob. That seemed more interesting to me than the actual full frontal, I suppose.
They always do. Why is it more intense for what's his name to cut off the cop's ear and Reservoir Dogs off camera than it is on camera? Well,
right.
It's because your imagination kicks in. It's the same thing. So that's why I don't know if they got the best deal. To take out all the questions of whether it's okay or cool or moral or any of that, forget about all that. Forget about all those arguments for a second. Did the studio get their 500 grand worth? I don't know.
Oh, I absolutely think they did, because this movie definitely made at least that much just in the hype. So I think they definitely got their money's worth, what they were looking for, which was hype.
Did the movie make a bunch of money? Did it make money? Was it profitable?
The budget was, they spent $102 million and subtract $500,000 for boobs. And then the box office take was $147.1 million. However, that does not include all the Netflix money that they'll be getting this week after we release this episode.
Well,
all that Netflix money.
Netflix money.
I would call that barely breaking even is what I would call that. I don't think they made
a lot of money. It's a little bit of money, but yeah, you're right. In a day and age where we have a much more, we have a bigger world market out there, there's definitely, this would be considered a flop.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Today.
Well, it's interesting. By the way, I gotta go. Do anyone want to do the gross moment? What's the gross moment for Scott?
Halle Berry's boobs.
Is it
trying to get a blowjob while you're trying to hack the computer?
Nope. But
by the way, how do you get a boner during a situation like that?
You don't.
Any of it. Yeah. How did the pants get open? I didn't get any of it. None of it made sense.
No.
Oh, Helga's very talented.
Yeah, but right? I'll give you a,
Travolta even says so.
I'll give you a hint. It's Helga related. Helga.
Oh, Lund interesting.
Related. Oh, it's the squirting tequila in his mouth.
That was pretty bad.
That was so freaking gross, dude.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, I can see that.
Dude, she's up there, all up on his face. First of all, she's a stranger. He's got no connection to her. She's all up on his face and starts going.
Right. Come on. I mean,
blowing tequila into his mouth.
Human temperature tequila. No thanks. Ugh. Gross.
And I realize it's alcohol.
At a bar, it's room temperature. I just not human.
I don't often agree with Scott, but yeah, me and Scott on the same page this one. Yeah. I agree.
It was foul. It was just gross. It's just like anybody doing anything with any liquid or food or anything in their mouth, getting up on you and going, here you go, have some of this. Freaking F you, dude. I don't want your gum.
Baby bird.
I don't want your gum. I don't want your whatever it is you're passing. Oh my gosh, that's gross.
That is my idea for TMS Vegas 2019.
And now time for tequila pass.
Yeah, that's the year I don't do that anymore.
Glass at the end of the table. Glass at the front of the table with tequila. Right. Glass at the end of the table empty.
We call this the tequila centipede.
Bad idea. Ooh, the tequila centipede is a terrible idea.
If you don't at least threaten people with that. If you don't at least threaten that, I don't respect you. You got to at least threaten that.
Okay. We'll do it next spring. Love that's it. The plan. The run down the hill bit, can we talk about that for a second?
What the hell?
I don't understand
that scene. I enjoyed it.
It's the worst trope in the film.
It's bad.
I love it. There's a trope of chasing someone down the hill?
Yes, there's a trope of we shot this because it looks cool and we take forever, and then it was all for naught. You could just drive down the street.
Yeah. That's what's always great about those.
Get down there faster. Hop in the car. Where do we turn? Where pull up the GPS? Where do we turn to get down to the other beach? Okay, right there. All right, good. We'll sit down there.
They're still rolling.
The way they had to go down, like there was like a slippery slide in the middle of that thing or whatever that was, some kind of
tarp.
That didn't really. But I
did like it though. I know it was dumb, but I enjoyed the. I don't know. I just enjoyed the energy of it, and it was just. It was silly.
Listen to this. Yeah. I just noticed something in my notes. I noticed I wrote Travolta's hair is so dumb in the beginning of my notes. And then about eight lines down, I have a whole separate note that says Travolta has shit hair.
Yeah. Still dumb.
I must have really.
Still dumb. Yeah. Just checking. Still dumb. Yeah. No, that whole scene, by the way, reminded me of a summer. I think it was a birthday party I went to at a coworker's house where they have a little hill in their backyard and they set up a like a homemade slip and slide with tarp and hoses at the top, and you got up there and you slid down. What they didn't do was like really groom the ground underneath the tarp. So you'd have like areas where there's like maybe not a rock, but certainly an uncomfortable bump that you'd hit it.
Those are the worst.
Over miles an hour.
Yeah.
We do these every year, and they're a lot of fun. And we usually put a little bit of like dish detergent.
Yeah, you put hand soap or dish detergent.
Yeah,
in it.
So you're like you booking it.
Yeah,
but you groom the ground. Like you take a nice rake and you kind of rake, make sure the rocks
are out.
Yeah, no dog poops, all that kind of stuff. Sure.
Absolutely.
I mean, some people's yards just suck, and there's nothing you can do.
But you don't slip and slide there. That's what you do.
Here's what's weird is we have a school near us, and they have a giant giant outdoor land around it where they have like soccer games and everything. There's huge amounts of grass, and every year. A bunch of people do one of these slip and slides down the hill from the road, down the hill into the grass that is normally where they play soccer. And in the spring and in the early summer, it's very green. And they'll do this. They'll lube it up with the soap and everything. And then when they're done doing it, they go away. And for the next 3 months, there's a giant stripe of death on this otherwise pristine grass. And I don't know why people are allowed to do it. It just they've killed it. They kill the grass there. I don't get it.
Yeah, my parents had this incredible yard with that deep St. Augustine grass, you know, like it was so soft and it would grow tall and you could lay out a slip and slide. And it made them so mad when, you know, slip and slide would kill a big block of grass.
Who's St. Augustine? Was he famous for lawn care or something? What was his deal? St. Augustine of Hippo.
That's how he became a saint.
Saint of evergreen lawns.
It says, right here it is. I found it. Saint Augustine of Hippo. He was a Roman African African early Christian theologian and philosopher. His writings influenced the development of Western Christianity and Western philosophy, and kept a pretty damn nice yard. It says.
And one hell of a groundskeeper.
No, it doesn't say anything about groundskeeping. I don't know where that came from. Anyway, whatever. Trope. Here's my favorite trope of the movie. Corrupt politicians fly fish and hunt all the time. That's their deal. Yeah. They're always good old
by
boys.
By themselves.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Out there just casting some flies.
Well, yeah. Yeah. The fly fishing is very popular amongst the senators. It's always. What does it portray? Like, I've got a lot of money. I flew a helicopter out here and I just like retreating and chilling out a little bit.
They like to portray them as like, I grew up in a small town. My dad was a
farmer.
It's
always a southern boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it totally is.
Yeah. Always southern boy.
So that's that guy. And I love him. Like, freaking, he died recently, but I think he's great. What's his name?
Fly fishing?
No. What's his name?
I like the trope. The trope that you're describing inside it.
Mm.
It's the trope is called the man behind the man.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so like Sam Shepard is playing this senator who is kind of the secret, keeper of the knowledge. And then you imagine that Sam Shepard also has a man behind him somewhere up mm-hmm. the chain.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. I love
he does.
Love Tate Donovan, by the way. He was like his little helper. His little helper man.
Yeah, again, just kind of a yes, used as just kind of a yes man, and then exploding car fodder.
Yep. Yeah. The voice of Hercules in the Disney animated film Hercules.
Oh, really?
Forgot about that.
Yeah.
Huh.
He's great.
I watched that recently, too.
Also,
that's a good one. Really, that one doesn't get enough credit.
Great character in the Man in the High Castle series, at least the second season. I don't know if he's in the first, but he's great in that, too. He's just a good actor. Always see him and go, oh, yeah, I like him. He can play good, and he can play really evil. He's got this great kind of dual thing going on. Almost kind of like, who's the guy we always talk about that got poked with a puke stick? And I can't think of his name. He was in season 3 of the Justified Bad Guys.
Yes,
Neil McDonough.
Neil McDonough with his piercing blue eyes.
Yeah, yeah. He's like Neil McDonough, except he can play nice if he needs to. That's the difference between those two
actors. I was going to say, the opposite of all this is Don Cheadle. He can only play nice.
Yeah, that's true. I like Don Cheadle a lot. I think he is ill-fitted for War Machine because I think he's just really small looking. Like, he's a little short man, and I can never buy the War Machine thing, but I love him and everything he's in, like, when there's dialogue and stuff. That guy's great. Even his crappy English accent in Motion's 11's good. I'll even take that.
It's good.
Oh, I'm fine with it.
Yeah. What's your best Don Cheadle? Pick a movie or a TV appearance that is the best thing you ever did.
I thought Hotel Rwanda
was... Best Cheadle, go. Best Cheadle.
Hotel Rwanda was really good. Yeah, that's a hell of a movie. I'd give him that.
Right,
like that's his big Oscar turn and all that stuff. Like that was really good.
Come back to me because I'm thinking, Brian. I'm also looking up as like, what am I forgetting about?
Yeah,
right, exactly. So, go ahead.
I'll go, just because I've been told that I mentioned this movie on FilmSec way too much, so I have to bring it up for the billionth time. I really like Don Cheadle in Boogie Nights. There's something about the way he portrays this odd character.
Yeah,
and I don't know, he gets to wear a lot of weird costumes and he's just great.
Yeah, that's a good one. I don't know if you bring that movie up that much, do you?
I've been told.
Every week.
Right.
Oh my God, here
quit
it comes
bringing
again.
Up the Boogie Nights.
Boogie
As
Nights
you know, Scott, people love to email us and tell us what not to say.
Oh, we had a real winner this week that I shared with Randy privately.
Don't include us.
Well,
thanks a lot.
It was just it was very critical of something Randy said in particular, so I didn't think you guys would be interested, but it was some people, boy, they get their hair in a wad. Let's put it that way.
Right.
I don't know.
They get their hair
lots
in
hair.
A wad.
Yeah, they get their hair in a wad. They got a hair wad. You know,
hair
what
wads
I mean?
Are gross.
All right, what else?
Mine, so I'd throw Out of Sight in there, the George Clooney.
Oh, that's a great movie.
He's a bad guy, and he's working with another one of my favorites, Steve Zahn, and Luis Guzman. It's like Dennis Farina. That's such a great,
great movie.
Underrated, and wasn't it Soderbergh? Yeah, it was Steven Soderbergh.
Yeah, it was. Totally was.
Yep.
And it was based on an Elmore Leonard novel, wasn't it?
That's right. Oh. Yes.
Yeah.
Like Get Shorty.
Yeah, and yes. Justified itself, what you're just talking about.
You know, I've been racking my brain and every time I for Don Cheadle, and I gotta say, even though this is not the best movie, I probably enjoyed Don Cheadle the most is in Swordfish. I kind of like this character. He kind of elevates the whole piece of crap.
Yeah.
His interactions, like how much you weigh and huh and throwing the coffee and then picking up the guy and shoving him into the wall. Eat a dick.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked all that. And he's good. He's just, I don't know, whatever. That guy's just reliable. Hire him because he's good.
He's always likable. He's always, he's always seems like a guy you'd want to hang out with.
Yeah. He's just a little small for the war machine.
That whole interrogation assassination was the perfect example of what I love when Dominic Senna does it, which is he doesn't just have the guy get interrogated and shot, but he gives you all of this extra stuff, these little shots outside the room, and like that whole thing where Don Cheadle throws the attorney around. That is what I liked so much. Mm-hmm. And you can pick up on stuff like that scattered all through this film. This little, like, this extra storytelling that fleshes it out.
You know, the only problem with this director that we're describing here, Dominic Senna, is that he also made a movie we've seen on FilmSack, and it was the last movie he directed in 2011 called Season of the Witch.
Now, oh, wow.
Season of the Witch is not a great thing to go out on. That is.
I actually enjoyed that.
Oh, you've forgotten, dude.
You know, I kind of enjoyed Season of the Witch. I thought it was.
Oh.
I thought it was the best that movie could be. Usually, like, I'm like, okay, what characters do I have? What script do I have? What came out? I think the Season of the Witch, what went in, was not that much different than what came out.
And he's still alive. He just retired. Like,
yeah, he's 70 now, and I'm hoping that he's made enough money that he doesn't need to keep making movies. And it's not, he's got like crazy skeletons in his closet and just trying to stay away from the limelight.
I do think we do need to, if California with a K ever appears on a streaming service. Yeah, it's like fake California. That was like Crab with a K.
Oh, the David Duchovny, Brad Pitt, Juliet Lewis thing. Yeah.
That's the one. That's also directed by Senna. And I think it would be a good one.
Have I seen Michelle Forbes is in that?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. I think this is another one of those movies I think I've seen, but now I'm not sure. Maybe I haven't seen it.
I heard a little bit of dissent from Randy, though. Are you not?
Right.
I mean, it's perfect for FilmSack. I've never cared to watch it, so I guess
you've never seen it.
No. I mean,
he lives
in California, and it's got, you know, they spell it with a K. He's not down with that.
Yeah. Don't be fooled by the fact that it's, you know, about a couple of serial killers traveling across the country, and it's got Juliet Lewis in it, and it's absolutely not Natural Born Killers.
Sure.
Right.
Written by, who wrote that? Tarantino.
Natural Born Killers? Tarantino, yeah.
Yeah. I need to buy it. Yeah.
So did you ever watch the Californication with the sea?
I never made that connection. Duchovny and also K Duchovny. California and C Californication. Wow.
Sure. He's got it all covered from one end to the other.
Somebody needs to make a Californication with a K and combine the two into like a sex with random strangers that you then murder. TV show.
As you might have noticed from my references, I've been watching all of the new Queer Eye, and that's one of the many, many, many TV shows that are made entirely in Georgia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I would now like there to be Georgia with a J.
Sure. Why not?
There is. She was on CSI.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Georgia Fox.
You know, that Queer Eye show is delightfully good. It's surprising because I really didn't like the old one. The old one just felt just pandery and weird. I didn't like it. This thing, something about it. There's something good going on there. I like it a lot. It's really good. And next season they're going out of Georgia though. That's the whole thing.
Oh, good. Because I'm done with Atlanta.
Yeah, they're going somewhere like I can't remember where it is. It's somewhere. It's not like a coastal, it's not like New York or something. No one needs them there. They got to go somewhere rural or whatever. So they're doing that. I can't remember which, but anyway, that haircut guy cracks me up. Yeah.
Don Vickers works as a location scout in Georgia. We want him to keep working as much as possible. So, hey, people, things can stay in Georgia.
That's right. Queer Eye for the Don Vickers guy. Yeah.
Queer Eye Season 3 is getting underway in Kansas City.
Oh, Kansas City, that's where it is, Kansas. Yeah, I heard that. And one of those dudes, the one that's Middle Eastern descent, but also has a really cool kind of combo British accent thing, the clothes guy, he lives in Salt Lake City. Like, he's a big SLC dude and loves it here, and did some interview where he was just raving about how much he loves our city, and then goes and does this, films this, and then comes home. So apparently he's Mr. Hotshot downtown now. Everybody wants to meet and talk to this dude, get his clothes advice, I guess. Anyway, let's continue on here. Swordfish is a terrible password. I just want to put that out there. That's a bad password.
Right. Okay.
No, so, but if you change the I to a 1, it's perfect.
Okay, so here's the biggest trope in the film. Give me that trope
alert. All right, there it is. Ready?
So the password is always Swordfish is the name of the film and the original reference, right? It goes back to the Marx Brothers movie Horse Feathers, where there's a guard at a door who says you can't come in here unless you know the password, and the password is Swordfish.
Yeah.
This is the trope that I'm shocked the movie didn't say more about it. The movie just kind of the movie just kind of lets it go. Never says anything until the end. What?
Right. I kept waiting for it.
Yeah, and you also, by the way, when you go extract millions of dollars from a bank, one of the things, they don't ask you for your password, and you don't say it out loud at the desk. You don't go, what's your account? Something, something number, password, Swordfish. Holy shit, are you kidding me?
You withdrawn all your money, you're not going to use that font anymore. You're done.
I guess, but then, okay.
Also
at the very
Facebook password.
At the very least, no, there's a 69 at the end, though. Is what you do.
Yeah.
But the lady at the desk at the very least should say, that's a terrible password. You don't understand security. Never talk to me again. Like, it's just awful. Right. Swordfish, all one word, lowercase. F off. That sucks.
This trope is referenced in so many movies, or it's just flat out used. Like in Pulp Fiction, Marcellus Wallace's suitcase password is 666. That's a really common one in movies. You could just go, like, there's so any movie where there's a password, really. It's easy to guess. It's like easy to guess.
And if there's that kind of along the same lines, if there's a briefcase with 3 digits, it's always going to be 666, right?
Oh, yeah. And they're never going to, no one's ever going to say, you know, I understand these are movies. No one's ever going to say, all right, I've got a 18-digit mix of symbols, number, and here it is. You know, like, I know they're not going to do that.
Let's just not forget this is 2001. And we did use stupid passwords back in 2001. Probably. Not until probably the last 4 or 5 years have people just really gotten
not me, man.
Really
I had awesome passwords in the 90s and early
Well, you know, we did because we do a lot of tech stuff. I'm talking about the average.
Yeah, but these are tech people. These are the ultimate of tech people. These are people hacking billions of dollars out of international banks.
But no, they're Halle Berry's not, and neither is the only hacker they really got is.
No, she is, because I mean she's into that culture, because when he's talking about how he hacked in to the Department of Defense thing,
you can't trust anything she says.
She says, no, you didn't do it that way. Like, okay, you know this. Why did you do it?
Well, you just can't make her mad or her eyes turn white and it's snowing indoors suddenly. So you have to be very careful.
You know what happens to a hacker when they're struck by lightning?
Yeah, it's bad.
The same thing that happens.
That was the worst line. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
My eyes turned white from the rolling when she said that.
Oh, speaking of eyes rolling, sometimes in horror movies you see eyes roll. This is a terrible transition, but I want to talk about our friends at Shudder, Shudder. I want to thank them for supporting the podcast. Shudder is a premium streaming video service from AMC Networks featuring a great collection of thrillers, horror, and suspense, perfect for Brian Dunaway and anyone who likes their horror movies. Shudder has the largest, fastest-growing, human-curated selection of thrillers and dangerous entertainment. They provide unlimited ad-free access on all your favorite devices for only $4.99 a month or $49.99 a year. I love my... all my devices, whatever. My house is full of like all this stuff. I've got an Amazon Fire TV, an Apple TV, an iPad, an iPhone, a couple of Android devices, and I can watch it on all of those. Shudder has a unique library of exclusive and original films and series, horror classics, Can't Talk, and blockbuster hits, which are updated every week, so you always have a fresh selection. Current Shudder exclusives include last year's Cuso by Flying Lotus, Mayhem by Joe Lynch, and Sequence Break by Graham Skipper. It's an awesome service. Have you guys not used it? Because I have, and it's great. They have a wide selection of content to choose from, and that's the most important thing to me. Try Shudder free for 30 days by visiting Shudder, that's SHUDDER.com/podcast, and use the code FILMSACK. That's Shudder.com/podcast. Again, SHUDDER, that's important, .com/podcast, and use the code FILMSACK. Okay, where were we?
Yeah. Speaking of, by the way, but while we're on the computer tech, isn't it cool that every computer in 2001 used the same font for all of their text on screen?
Sure.
It's the only font we had.
It's all we had. It's all we had to work
I'm
with.
Trying to remember what that font was because I remember using it quite a bit.
What's way more annoying to me is that every time anything changes on a screen in 2001, you hear sounds.
Beep. Yeah. Yep. Access denied.
Yeah. Oh, just like there's a whoosh sound when text moves around on a screen.
Mm-hmm. You know, this is true.
Like I said, the director just did not trust the audience could enjoy a simple scene of someone actually hacking. They believe
wrong. You can do it. It's possible.
Yeah.
They're wrong.
I mean, we used to think that space had to be all these noises, and then Battlestar Galactica proved that it was more effective to represent it more accurately. Silent. It was like, wow.
Yeah. Muffled.
Well, keep in mind, they were being prophetic because what is the first thing that happens on your iPhone when you pull it out of the box and you start using, you start typing a little keyboard? Send an email.
I was going to
turn that off. Turn that off.
The first thing your iPhone does when you pull it out of the box is it tries to dive to the floor.
Mm, yeah. It's like a slippery bar of soap, man. It's all wet and ready to go. No, I agree. Like in some ways we've turned into this idea of making things practical for everyday people. So when they hear ticking that, oh, that's like a keyboard, that makes it feel more physical, or these haptic feedback or all that other stuff. But in the hacker world, that's no one cares about that. They're sitting down in front of a dumb terminal on a little widescreen and they're typing in Linux, you know, they're typing Linux code. Or they're typing Linux, or they're using Linux and they're typing their own code or whatever they're doing.
Or in this movie, in Matrix code? Yeah. What was that?
Right. Yeah.
Right. I hate that. So making a little cube box that then combines to form a Voltron cube box for the worm. Yeah. And
it's all command line, and that's fine. You can make this work with command line. I don't know why they don't trust us.
This is kind of where they ended in Hollywood with this part, but there's a new technology that's really been really just tearing through all the movies, and there's different ways to approach it, and that's the cell phone text messaging. And some of the directors choose to go with like a pop-up bubble on the screen. I don't know if that's the most effective way to...
Oh, like a superimposed pop-up bubble in front of the actors as they're typing?
Right. Yeah,
I actually kind of like it too.
Is that effective?
I like it.
Really depends on the film itself. Like, if it was a Star Wars film and a couple characters were sending messages to each other, not texting, but sending messages to each other, I wouldn't want to see it.
Whoop, whoop. Right. But when you start watching the first edition issue, whatever, when you watch the first new Sherlock, and you see all of that popover stuff, it actually makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Yeah, exactly. Like it.
Effective? All right, good. At least they got that right.
Yeah, some of that stuff's okay. But even when they just show a phone and a message comes up, I've noticed movies and stuff are just starting to show Android and iOS and just regular interfaces. Like, here's iMessage, here's Google Messages, here's, you know, whatever. They just kind of just show it. And I'm cool with that. Like, let it be real world. Let it live in its time. Like, you don't need to make me a big fake CGI fake text thing anymore. But you know, we talk about this on the show all the time, new technology complicates this stuff. It just makes it harder, and it makes older movies suffer. It's like, well, geez, imagine cell phones if they existed the way they do today in Swordfish. What would have been different? Well, it would have been totally different. But you know, instead what they were left with is like, what if there were 8 screens? Again, not that big a deal now. What if there were they were connected to 7 networks, she says. 7 networks. What does that even mean?
Well, you're leaving a huge footprint. Get off there. Yeah. What's wrong with you?
He's got a DS3 truck pulled up to his house.
Yeah. What the? Like all that stuff is just, it's the best you can do at the time you do it. And that's why I think that I think you're better off aligning yourself with what's possible today. And then it will hold up better because that's the thing of the day.
Well, that or you fully steer into it and you come up with jargon. Not like they did, where it's like we take some existing stuff and just kind of fudge it around, but take jargon that that won't be in use in 15
yeah,
years.
Yeah, go all the way in 40 yes.
years.
Go full
and,
science
and
fiction.
Use that and make it sound like it's, you know, I'm using a full Radiohead encryption
or,
quality
or just don't talk about it. Who gives a crap? Do we need that information at all?
No,
we
don't.
Audiences, we do not need to know the specifications of the tech. I mean, it'd be like, you know, it's portraying a barista in a film and going, oh, well, you know, here I'm making coffee. Let me tell you exactly how I'm making it and how many ounces is his this and as. Nobody wants to know.
No.
It's not relative.
It, yeah.
But is it realistic to have your characters talking about what they need each other to do and say, you know what you need to do, right? Yep, I'm going to go and do that. All right, cool.
Yeah, I like that. I prefer that. They usually do that a lot.
Say, we need to break into this system. All right, I'm on it. Be done.
I'm on it. Right, got it. Right.
Yeah.
They don't have to go. You use a 128-bit encryption.
Right. Right.
Because that's the movie trying to convince us they know what they're talking about, but then but their follow through says they don't.
And with that, our bullshit meter goes off because if you were talking to somebody in the real world and they started throwing that kind of jargon around, you would go bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Full of bullshit.
Yeah. All kinds of bullshit just oozing out of your holes that you have. You have many holes.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's just coming. It's coming out like a fuzzy bumper pooper machine.
It's dripping. It's dripping down your chin like a bad haircut
like a bad soul patch or whatever that was supposed to be.
Yeah, like even a soul patch. It's like
we had a term for that prior to the show that we're not going to repeat.
Yeah, that's true.
You.
We did.
It's a landing strip on your chin is basically what it is.
That's it. That's what it is. There you go. That no
I'm
one
a
wants
pilot.
To land
it's
on.
It's a landing strip.
Oh, landing strips. Airplanes. Guess what? You need to be on an airplane to land on a landing strip, and you need a way to carry your stuff with you. Now, that's a good transition. I want to thank Away for supporting this podcast. They make affordable, high-quality suitcases that charge your phone. I have one of these, and it does just that. By cutting out the middleman, Away is able to offer the perfect luggage made with high-quality materials at a much lower price. And they have a variety of options, 10 colors, 5 sizes, the carry-on, the bigger carry-on, the kids' carry-on, plus the medium bag and the large bag. Away has designed the perfect suitcase to make your travel experience stress-free. The carry-on bags feature 2 USB ports. Again, I can confirm. I've used these. I've charged with them. And a high-capacity battery allowing you to charge multiple devices on the go, phones, tablets, laptops, whatever. So you'll never have to worry about a dead phone or a flight without an outlet at the airport or all that stuff. I hate that stuff. Ultra durable yet lightweight is how I would describe them. Made with premium impact resistant German polycarbonate and smooth ride in any direction. 4 360 degree spinner wheels that won't get stuck or break if you're in a hurry. That can be very helpful because, you know, you're trying to get around. These are also theft proof, TSA approved combination locks built in to keep your belongings safe. And there's a patent-pending interior compression system that tightly buckles in bulky items. So even you overpackers can fit everything you need in there. Comes with a lifetime warranty. If anything breaks, Away will fix it or replace it for life. Risk-free 100-day trial period is the other important thing here. If at any point you decide it's not for you, return it for a full refund. There are no questions asked. Plus, get free shipping anywhere in the lower 48. Oh, man, I love mine. I really, really do. It's great. I have a red one. Planning on taking it to Ohio in a month or two, month and a half, whatever it is. And, of course, BlizzCon, it's all I need, and it's all you'll need. So here's what I want you to do. Away has a special offer for our listeners. For $20 off a suitcase, go to awaytravel.com/filmsack and use the promo code FILMSACK at checkout. That is awaytravel.com/filmsack. Use the promo code FILMSACK. Okay. I have a load of clips.
Oh, my.
To play. I'm going to play them now.
Please, here please empty your load. Empty this
right.
load.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm going to empty.
Loading clips now.
Going to get these clips off my back. Let's begin with pre-Wolverine Jackman, or at least he would have been at that time to us, because I think this beat Wolverine to the theaters. Anyway, here you go.
Bad guy can't win. It's a morality tale. One way or the other, he's got to go down.
You know, pretty good at covering that Australian accent early on there, you know. Mm-hmm. Did a pretty good job there.
Sure, yeah.
That guy's a talented dude. I like him. Hey, but do you remember when you came to Salt Lake and we watched what was the name of that robot movie?
Real Steel, I believe.
Real Steel yeah. is underrated Steel. And people should see it.
It is.
It's a great little movie.
It's the best Transformers movie that isn't a Transformers movie.
I agree.
Actually, it's a better Transformers movie than a movie with the word Transformers in the title.
Yeah. It's a fun idea. It's great. And it's also got the Wasp in it. So there's your other crossover. You got Wasp and
I forgot about that. Yeah. Wasp and Wolverine. Yep. Hey, if things go the way they're looking like they're going, Disney's going to get the whole Fox deal.
Yeah. The first major hurdle yesterday announced was done. Now they just got to, I don't know what's left, but they got to finish it up. Well done, guys. No Comcast in there. Well done.
Right.
Here's prom night with Ibbot. And I don't know who said this, but it's just recording from the car, so we can make up our own mind. But this was apparently a recorder in your car. Here you go.
Get the hell off the phone. I'm done playing with this asshole.
All right. I don't know what that means.
Whoa.
I don't know what it means. I'm not ascribing anything to it. I'm just saying, you know, you guys make sense of the audio. I'm no audio technician.
Sure.
I love these two is what I wrote.
So we haven't been compromising?
I'm not sure. I'm working on that right now, sir.
You better get sure real quick, son. If someone's cock's level to wind up on the block on this one, I guarantee it won't be mine.
You know, the old cock block.
Mm-hmm. Right. I remember having all the albums by New Cocks on the Block.
I like those guys. They're just so underused. Such a weird casting. To have two such great actors.
Sadly unnecessary. You use them more or take them out, but that little flimsy, you know, the dude behind the dude just wasn't.
When I first saw him, I got excited. I went, oh, these two are in this? No way. Okay, cool. This movie's getting better. And then it was like seeing a turkey at Thanksgiving that nobody cooked. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, all right. Well, I guess we're not having turkey.
Well, because you have to keep going with it. If you're going to unload that trope into a film, like you have to have a film like Payback, right? Where Mel Gibson goes after the guy that done him wrong and finds out there's a bigger man and then goes after him and finds out there's an even bigger man, right?
Yeah, I love, like, man, that, Payback is so good.
Yeah.
Love Payback.
It is good.
We should We should do Payback for this show.
We should go to Blockbuster and get.
We should go to the last Blockbuster in known existence.
By the way,
what do you mean?
There's a connection. Mm. Bend, Oregon, where the fly fishing is going on. Bend, Oregon is the home of the last Blockbuster.
Oh, was that in Bend, Oregon? It looked like Southern Utah or Arizona, maybe Colorado. That didn't look
anywhere. Well, the thing on the Banco text that appeared on screen, whatever font that was that everything used, said Bend, Oregon.
Oh, yeah. It was so Red Rocky. It didn't seem right to me, but whatever.
Yeah.
Here's effing up my chi.
You're f***ing up my chi.
It's just something I like to hear. You're effing up my chi. I can't remember who said that, though.
You're f***ing up my chi.
Who was that?
That's Huge Yak Man.
Oh, it was Huge Yak Man. Yeah.
You're messing up my chi.
Huge Yak Man.
Yep.
Let's see. Oh, this is the sound of kicking Halle Berry out of your house. Okay? So that's all this is? This is just you say to your Foley people, hey, what do you need? We need the sound of Halle Berry being kicked out of my house. So here's what it sounds like. There you go. That's the entirety of it.
Go ahead.
I just wish we had the scream isolated because it's a perfect scream.
It's a good scream. Yeah, it's not bad. What were you going to say there?
According to the director commentary, they offered to put a whole bunch of mats and mattresses down for her to land on. She said, nope, just throw me down. And that was a real landing.
Wow. Probably,
right. Safety word, swordfish.
All right.
Throw me down. Right.
Yes. Hey, what was she famous? Okay, let's clear this up. She was on some TV show before she went into movies, right? Or am I got that wrong? Because I know I for some reason I want to put her in something like
a different world or something.
Yeah, and I don't know why I want to do that. But every time
I
see her,
what the first thing is the first thing we saw her in the Flintstones.
She apparently appears in 6 episodes of Knott's Landing.
She's the older.
She was in every episode of Living Dolls in 1989.
Okay,
whatever show that was.
Whatever that was.
Wait,
She wasn't an episode of A Different World.
No, she was. Oh, weird.
Jungle Fever might have been the first thing that we saw her in, or Last Boy Scout. Both of those were in 1991.
Oh, the Last Boy Scout. Didn't we watch that? Did we see that?
We did watch that for
I think I have conflated her with somebody else, because to me it was like a sitcom in the 80s, and that she was the only one that kind of broke out of there and was a big star, but I cannot figure out why.
You know, so I might have remembered from the Flintstones, but I think the first thing I remember seeing her in was Executive Decision. As the flight attendant who's like looking up at the camera. Do you need me to go in this elevator here? Here? Oh, right over here?
Right. I forgot she was in that. There's a lot of people in that. By the way, she was one of the phone voices on Frasier when people call in and talk to Frasier.
Interesting.
Yeah, that was always fun to figure those out.
Totally was.
Oh, you hear they're trying to do a reboot, by the way. Kelsey Grammer and everybody were trying to get a not a reboot, but a you know, like a here we are, we're older now deal going.
Except for some of us who aren't here anymore.
I give them the benefit of the doubt because they took a character from Cheers and made arguably a better sitcom than the thing it came from, and that's hard to do. Spinoffs usually suck. Like, it's a rare thing to see them succeed. It happens, but it's rare. So if anybody can do it, they have the right producers and stuff, I'd be all about a new Frasier. That's fine with me.
Right. But when was that last talked about? Because didn't John Mahoney pass away in this year?
Yeah, but he, you know, you just write that in. But it's like just recent.
An empty chair.
Yeah.
Maybe. It'll be great.
It's an empty chair with a little butt mark on it. But no, it's announced just a couple days ago or something. They were talking more about it. So it looks like it might happen. I don't know why I'm so excited about it, but I am.
I'm very excited.
It's weirdly. Oh, and speaking of John Mahoney.
Scrutiny.
There you go. Scrutiny.
Scrutiny.
Where was I? Let's see. Okay, here's one. Here's the porn king of social. I don't know what that means. So here it is.
Larry's the porn king of Southern California.
Oh, SoCal. I wrote social. SoCal.
Social porn king of social.
I misspelled that. Wrote social. Porn king of social.
Hold on. I'm changing my Twitter handle as we speak.
Right.
Larry's the porn king of Southern California.
California.
Go ahead.
We all know the actual porn king of social media is Ted Cruz.
Oh, yeah.
This movie taught me a word I was not aware of. It's a fluffer. I was like,
you never heard of that before?
You have? Wow.
So what? I'm like,
knew that.
Did you Google it? Of course I Googled it. I'm like, what the heck? What is a fluffer? What is that? I was like, okay, close.
I'll bet that term was wacky discussed in the first week of the morning stream.
Yeah, probably. I mean, there's all kinds of things that always come as surprises to me, but I knew what a fluffer was. I mean, it's a guy, well, we don't have to say, but I know what it is.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's all right. Hey, look, Dunaway, we all learn, and it's one day at a time.
But I don't want to learn that. I could have lived the rest of my life.
I'm actually going to go farther back. I'll bet that Obsidian defined it for you on Extra Life Radio a decade ago.
Yeah,
forgotten.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Probably.
Would not surprise me.
I couldn't remember, so I was like, what is this?
We're almost a decade ago from that show ending, by the way. Ended in 2009. Yep. Think of that.
Wow.
Here's Don Cheeto. As Nicole would say, here you go.
Why would the number one hacker in the world risk life imprisonment by coming into the continental U.S.?
Ich kann auch Survivor nicht verpassen.
Okay, what did you say?
I like that. Let's finish. You can't understand him.
He never misses an episode of Survivor.
That's right. Yeah, those guys.
Yeah, and Don Cheadle laughs for way too long at that.
Yeah, he was
into
it.
I didn't think it was that funny. I like that.
It's because he's getting ready to tell the other or punch the other guy through the door and tell
that's
him to
true.
Eat.
That's true. He's using his stall technique to
pick up the other Yeah. Here's the reply later from that lawyer.
Jan, you ain't the dick.
I love it. The finish, man. Transparent. So thin you can see their heartbeat like a baby fish. Okay, here's some tech BS. Enjoy this tech BS.
This is not just a multi-screen system. It has a DS3 connection, which allows us to access 7 different networks simultaneously.
Even the internet in 2001 worked. We knew how it worked, okay?
Did anyone go, oh, no.
I love how
why say it?
Yeah.
I love how she delivers it like she's talking dirty.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing I hate about I hate over-sexualization of you know, I just hate
like
all that crap.
Like technobabble like that? Yeah.
And if you're able to access and be on 7 different networks, doesn't that mean you're just on one network? Because
yeah,
if you're connecting all these networks, you're basically...
Also, what does it even mean?
It's meant to sound hot.
It's supposed to sound like, ooh, multiples of a thing that sound, oh, this is for my mom. Networks. It's not for us. I hate it.
We love networks.
We need a two-headed virus, two-headed.
Now, if you saw Halle Berry's toplessness, you might also bump into furniture like this. I think that was a funny sound. Because that's what he did. He turned around to leave and he went,
I need a fluffer over here.
Yeah. Say the name of your movie.
You ever heard of Operation Swordfish?
Nope.
Well, then you'll appreciate the irony here.
Yeah, all my passwords are swordfish.
What? Is it an operation or is it a password? Make your mind up.
Yeah, figure it out, buddy.
It's the Swiss Army knife of words.
Yeah. What's your Steam password? Steam.
Steamfish.
I was actually hoping that this would lead to sequels because the second film would be called Sailfish.
Yeah.
And then the third film could be called Marlin.
Oh, I like
it. And then and then the reboot called Corndog.
Yeah, Corndog. Cornfish. Yeah.
If only there were sequels to Swordfish.
Yeah, darn it. Here's a great line.
Just in time to watch Stanley find our worm.
There you go. That's pretty good.
What do you mean, our worm?
Yeah.
Get off me.
Get off my worm.
Kind of like the fact that he hit it on a defunct computer in, you know,
in the basement.
College lab. Yeah. I kind of like that, actually.
Right. I did enjoy that part.
Yeah. And there were some great little shots, like the shot where you're going down the hallway corridor and looking at all the cabling, and then, like, you end up in a room with an old reel-to-reel, and it, like, spins up.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's cool. Okay. I like that, but I don't like the fact that as you're going down that hallway, you're hearing people's conversations and bloop, 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 data traveling and stuff like that. Yeah. Like,
the sound of data moving is stupid.
Yes.
It's really dumb. Real dumb. And also a very analog way to portray digital transferring.
Yeah,
it's
for sure.
I do like the visual of it. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially the old tape thing when that kicked in.
Yes.
All right. I wrote. I don't think this is true, but I don't remember what it was. So here it is. This is what Scott does not think is true.
Thomas Jefferson once shot a man on the White House lawn for treason.
I don't think that's true. I think that's fake.
And according to the IMDb trivia, it is not true. And this is the source of that rumor.
I thought she debunked it too, like in the movie.
Did they?
Yeah.
Well, no. He was saying, "Hold on, hold your horses, one minute," and then he shot him. I think he was about to.
Maybe that's what it was. Okay, maybe he was going to debunk it. Yeah.
Yeah, because he was about to.
That's not true. Hold on. Whoa, don't shoot me.
Oh, I'm dead. Now I'm laying face down in the water. I look like Henry Blake in my hat. All right, goodbye, everybody.
Oh no, I'm going to swell up. It's not going to be good.
Here's a really, really dumb exchange, and I think this is the worst acting from Travolta in this film right here. Check it out.
That was your decision. No, you did that. How many more people die is up to you. I want that plane on the runway in 25 minutes.
I know. It's the stilted thing that only John Travolta can do. You did that.
I hate that. Oh, my gosh. Here's a little excise of it.
I want that plane on the runway in 25 minutes.
We saw a lot of that in Broken Arrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was about to say, Broken Arrow is a great one.
It feels like anything, there's a huge swath of movies post Pulp Fiction where this is just what he did.
Yeah.
Right.
We also saw that in Punisher. He did that in Punisher.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure, yeah.
And he did it in The General's Daughter,
mm-hmm.
which we didn't see.
I want a plane on the runway. Don't touch my hair with the dope. I'm working really hard on my hair, so don't touch it.
We have seen a lot of these now. How many movies of his have we seen? We've got to be way up there with him.
Battlefield Earth.
We can find out.
Yeah, a film sack or film sack stats. Here we go. All right. Filmsackstats.com says still got Suburban Commandos are a little recent, so it won't count today's, but that's okay. So we'll say Travolta. Oh, wait. You can't search by actor yet. I think he will be able to soon. Let's see. Where's one that he's in? Can't find it. Well, John Woo directed one of these. Hard Target. Here we go. All right. Found it. There's
Soft Target.
Get
the fluffer in here.
Okay. Fluffy Target.
Actors.
Get Helga. Where's Helga?
He's not in the top 10 yet, so he's got a ways to go, looks like. But only top build. Let's try that. Leonard Nimoy. Yeah, still not in there. I feel like we've seen him a lot, though. I'm a little bit surprised by that. Sylvester Stallone and Schwarzenegger currently... at the top build list, 11th and 10th. But if you count actual actors, it's Thomas Rosales Jr. at 18. And
actual actors.
Yeah.
And then real actors.
Schwarzenegger at 13, Trejo at 11, Sylvester Stallone at 11, and so on. Anyway, William Shatner, number 9. How's that possible?
Oh, all of the Star Trek people. Our top actors for FilmSack have slowly become all Star Trek people.
Are they including the TV shows in that? Or are you?
Probably.
Probably.
Yeah. I have to ask him. Well, anyway.
He's got a filter for that. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
And I'm kind of amazed at how many times we've seen Tom Cruise on FilmSack, and I want more.
I would like for us to watch more Tom Cruise. So excited about this new... I've never heard such glowing reviews about this upcoming Mission Impossible. People are freaking out about it. I've had people who have seen previews in L.A. say, I'm not supposed to talk about this, but not since Fury Road have you seen better action scenes.
People are flipping out. I'd like to ask our good friend Jeff Cannata to stop. I feel like he is... his Twitter handle should be tease you. Because that's all he does. He just teases me all the time.
He's anti-spoiler, but he is pro-tease, man.
Man,
yeah, I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah.
And it's like he'll see Star Wars Episode 9 like a month before the rest of us get to see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it drives me slightly nuts that he gets to do that and we don't.
That's sad.
It is sad.
Don't be sad.
Here's what's not sad. That sequence is actually taken from the first Mission Impossible film. Anyway, bad technology.
With the fart?
The fart minus the fart. Everything minus the fart.
Who farted? This was the Bing Rhames.
It's the FilmSack checklist. Bad technology, check. Everything filmed with an orange camera filter, check. War Machine Wolverine crossover, check. Is someone on the phone? What is that?
Somebody's trying to call me on my Amazon Dot.
Oh, because it takes calls now.
My aunt Barb is trying to call.
Yeah, you can do that. I forgot that was a new thing you can do.
And it's like, okay, how do I tell her to stop without saying stop? Mm-hmm. Where you guys are going to hear me say stop.
Yeah, that's
so fortunately it came up on my phone. I was able to turn down the say no.
Hey, Dot, call Brian Ibbett.
Yeah. Hey, Dot.
Dot. Hey,
I don't think you call it Dot. No, it doesn't.
Dot, stop. Dot, stop.
Dot, stop.
Yo, Google.
Everybody
saw that Kevin Durant commercial, right?
Yes. No. Maybe.
No, I must not have, because I don't know what you're talking about.
If you'd watched the World Cup on television.
Oh, well, that explains it.
Yeah.
There was a Kevin Durant commercial like every 5 minutes where he keeps saying, yo, Google, and it doesn't respond to him because you have to say, hey, Google.
Yeah, you can't say yo. Yo doesn't work, turns out. Maybe they should make it work. What kind of AI is that? Shitty AI.
Make it work.
Here's your Star Trek connections for the week, according to Daryl the Trek Nerd. He sent these in. Zach Grenier played A.D. Joy in Enterprise, played Renneth in the episode The Catwalk. Rudolph Martin, Axel Torvalds in this, played on Enterprise Ravis in the episode 2 Days and Two Nights. Joey Box, that's a great name, was a hostage. In this, he performed stunts in Insurrection and Nemesis. It was a stunt coordinator on 2009's reboot of Star Trek. And there was another hostage, Denny Pierce, also performed a bunch of DS9 stunts. And finally, Dana Hee, also a hostage on Voyager, was the stunt double for Jeri Ryan in most of her run of the show. So there you go.
So we know which mailing list they were able to get a hold of when they were looking for extras.
Correct.
Basically.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly right.
They hacked into Gene Roddenberry's files and got the email list, which the password was Swordfish, reasonably enough.
There you go. I'm going to give the soundtrack grade a G for great if you like 90s and early aughts EDM and techno. If you're into that, that's actually a pretty good soundtrack and worth listening to even now.
I thought it was good. Yeah, I enjoyed it very much.
Score-wise, whatever, it was kind of throwaway.
It was a little bit... I couldn't make it out during the big car chase scene, and that's supposed to be your big action sequence for the whole film, right? Like, there's John Travolta, guns akimbo, in a TVR freaking Tuscan. But I couldn't, the music was a little boomy and loud during that whole sequence.
Yeah. It's a good soundtrack, though. It's up on Spotify. Apple Music has it. It's worth listening to if you don't want to even see the movie, the soundtrack's pretty good. Twitter post. This is where we sum it up in 280 characters or less. 128 encryption or less. Let's start with Randy Jordan.
Thank you, Scott. Swordfish. Dominic Senna spends this entire movie mentioning his previous film by saying 60 seconds, 60 seconds, 60 seconds. Now I can't wait to see his next movie, Hero Dreams of Sushi.
Actually, it's funny. Every time you bring up the Hero Dreams of Sushi documentary, it kind of makes me want to see it again. I really like that.
Makes me want sushi.
Yeah, that too.
Mm. You put the salmon on the plate. Yeah. I didn't do that.
I want to put it on the... also,
I want some wasabi and ginger on the corner of that plate now.
It's my least favorite Travolta. I don't know why he does it. He does it a lot in that the O.J. Simpson thing, that kind of thing.
I know he's really forgotten about his older style of nuance, like you know, kind of hipster, not hipster, you know, hip dude talk. But
yeah,
gone. I miss the dude talk.
It's gone.
Yeah.
Well, let's get some dude talk from Dunaway. Dunaway, your Twitter post, please.
Sure. Swordfish, like. Tequila squirters from Helga. Back off, Helga. You're killing my Netflix search chi for something better.
Tequila squirters.
Tequila squirters.
I'm opening a bar called Tequila Squirters.
That's pretty good. All the bartenders.
Glassware.
Yeah. The bartenders just gently lean over the counter and squirt it in your mouth.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm ready for another drink. Okay. What would you like? Let me do a rum and coke. Okay.
Open up.
So gross. Finally, Brian Ibbett.
Swordfish. Here's the password. One number, one capital, a couple of symbols, but zero characters.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that was good.
That's
good.
Really good. No, for real. Let's give it the credit it deserves. That was actually a really creative deal. Not that they're always, but man.
No, I know.
It's a cut above.
Sometimes the hands align right.
That's why we call you the fluffer.
Yeah, you're the fluffer. Really fluffed up the end of this show. Oh, look at this. Alternate titles just handed to me. This was almost called Sword Fishing Scheme. Or, now this is the one I'm proud of, okay? Logan Not Lucky. Think about it. Think about it.
Nice.
Because Logan, right? And then there's the Logan Lucky. You know, you guys get it. All right.
Right. Oh, because he played Logan.
Yeah. Very good. Well done.
Okay.
I will now jump ever so lightly to emails that we get at filmsack@gmail.com, and we got one from Alan, who says the following. Scott, I am finishing up another listen through of FilmSack, and this is something I love that people do. They go back and they do it again. It's insane to me. Anyway, whatever. He says, and I'm noting all of Randy's former jobs. Quote unquote former jobs. I expect to be done by the end of August. I currently have it as a Word file, but I'm flexible on format. My question is, what is the best way to get it to you? And would that not be concerning to you? I don't know what that means. I can put it in the body of an email, but it's very, very long. I'm up to 75 former jobs occasionally with the follow up where it made me laugh. I'd like to get this to you when it's completed and up to date. I also have a plan to update it. I thought about turning one job at a time, but it belongs to FilmSack. Please advise Alan.
I want that. And I want to make a website where when you just go to the URL, you get one of them.
Right.
You just get one of them, and then you refresh it, and you get a different one.
Yeah, that's totally. I could do that if I cared to.
Randy's former jobs or something like that. Yes.
Yeah. If I wanted to go actually do any database things, I'd do it, but I don't want to. Somebody else do it.
I like that you just said, I want to do that, but I don't
want
to.
I really don't. I want the result. I want the result of it. I don't want the work of it.
Right.
Exactly.
I want to see it, but I don't want to have any part of making it happen.
It's like today. It's like, I kind of want to build a gaming PC, but I don't. I would rather have someone else make it for me. So, yeah. Anyway, send me the list to that email address there, Alan. We'd love to see this and not only talk about it on the show, but maybe do something fun with it.
If it's easier, throw it in a Google Doc and share a link to the Google Doc or something.
That'd be fun.
He asked if it was like weird or creepy to send you a document. I'm like, you should see what we get, man.
Oh, yeah.
This is not even close.
This is the opposite of weird or creepy, by the way, because compared to what we sometimes get.
Photos of Helga.
Yeah. Listen, I've had four naked photos sent to me since, you know, having any sort of an online presence. And only one of them was attractive. So there you go. Oh, that tells you what
sorry.
We were.
That's
yeah. all right. She was Canadian.
More than the rest of us have gotten combined.
She was Canadian. She was lovely, whoever she was. Yeah. I don't know her name. She claimed that she was always at Nerdtacular, and I never knew.
Tell by the cheese curds and gravy.
in every photo. Anyway, thank you, Alan, for your email. If you'd like to send your own in, you can do it. Be like Alan, filmsack@gmail.com. All right. We have our next movie all lined up to go. Randy, remind us what it is.
Piranha.
Oh, now
we
this
are going
is
to
the...
watch Piranha from 2010. I'm saying like swordfish. You need to spell it Piranha.
Uh-huh.
Piranha. Like, oh, I didn't realize. Look at that. We're doing two fish movies.
Piranha.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. That's true. Well, one's
fishy.
One's mm-hmm. way more directly fish, though. There's a lot more actual fish in Piranha. So wait, this is the 2010 one. We're not going all the way back to the 70s stuff. We're going straight to the Jerry O'Connell mega picture.
Correct. That is correct. Jerry O'Connell, the great actor.
My recollection of this movie, having seen it back in 2010, was that there was a great scene where, I mean, I say great, it's kind of horrible, but it's so schlocky, it's awesome. Where there's a metal cord, or maybe it's something that's helping keep a boat at dock, and it gets cut, and it by piranhas, and it goes, whoo, just flying, ends up slicing some bikini girl like right in half. Do you know the part I'm talking about?
I only saw it the one time, and I don't remember anything about it.
It's awesome. That scene is such a cool little effect. So it's schlocky, garbagey horror movie. Definitely know what you're getting into. If you're going to watch Piranha. And it's on Netflix, right?
Yes, it is on Netflix.
All right. So that's next week, right here on
next
Film
week.
Sack.
We're going to get into the August summer movies. And that's a real summer movie.
That's some summer business. And that'll be fun. Adam Scott, a bunch of ladies I don't know, and others are in that movie. So check it out. Hasselhoff or somebody's in that that's like that? Right,
he's in every other sci-fi thing, but I don't think he's in this, is he?
I thought he was. I thought there was.
Oh, and this wasn't a sci-fi joint specifically.
Yeah, no, this was in theaters. This was like a movie. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember it was billed as Piranha 3D, and you had to go watch it with glasses on.
Well, that's who it was. Listen to this. Elizabeth Shue is in this.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Richard Dreyfuss, Ving Rhames, Christopher Lloyd. Christopher Lloyd, geez, Eli Roth, Jerry O'Connell, Stephen R. McQueen. Let's see, Kelly Brook is in it. She's got a big role. Adam Scott, as I mentioned.
Oh.
And there was one other name, Dina Meyer. I think we kind of know her.
Dina Meyer, yeah, from Starship Troopers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good time.
Wait a minute, have we really not seen this?
Nope.
We really haven't. And it also includes Paul Scheer, who does a podcast about bad movies that we hear about all the time.
Well, yeah. And he's also in with The League and stuff like that.
Yep. Yeah. So look for him.
Yeah. He's also, this director has done some stuff that I've enjoyed. I liked his reboot of The Hills Have Eyes.
Yep.
He's got stuff to say. He's cool. So anyway, there he is. Piranha 3D.
We've never done this.
This isn't the Piranha Double D or whatever the hell that is. It came later. This is the one before that. So
yeah,
right.
It was 3D in the theaters. It will not be for us. It is on film side or on Netflix. And wear the glasses if you want, but you're not going to get the experience.
It's not going to help anything.
Yeah, it's just going to make things weird. That's going to do it for us. Thank you all for listening. As always, don't forget to head on over to filmsack.com, and you can leave comments on the posts that we do. You can find ways to contact us, get the show in lots of different ways. Some of you are wondering, wait, what happened to the YouTube version of the show the last few episodes? YouTube or the film studios have gone crazy lately and started to shut down anything that even talks about their movies. I don't know why, but it's on YouTube, I should say. And they gave me an official strike, so I'm not posting them for a while.
Aww.
Yeah, that's like bad. You get three of those and you're off YouTube. So, and they don't give you any recourse. I can't fight it. I can't dispute it. I can't do anything. They just say, hey, Warner Brothers says that you shouldn't talk about whatever shit old movie. Well, you know what it was? It was the Dukes of Hazzard. movie somehow.
Oh God, of any movie to get a strike, to get your the hill you're going to die on, a strike against the
yeah, and it doesn't even claim that it's the hazard. It doesn't even claim it's the clips I'm playing, which are short and also fair use.
Give us, you know, complain about us playing stuff from Heat, but not for Heat.
Right, exactly. Good movies. I mean, why would you want to squelch the spread of your shit movie? I don't get it. Anyway, maybe that's the point. I don't want people to know they made it. So that's why you're not seeing these on FilmSec. They were just audio there anyway. But for those who maybe have gotten that way, I apologize. For now, this is going to be the way you get it. Anyway, FilmSec.com is where you want to go. The email address is FilmSec@gmail.com. We are on Twitter @FilmSec. And leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Google Play, iTunes, wherever it is. We'd love it. It's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Randy. Oh, someone's got code. We'll see you next
worm.
Time. Oh, no, worm. Tequila squirts.
Here we go.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com. That was weird.